This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm Randy Zonker.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are theater geeks.
Hi there, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Once again, sitting in with us, because we do record about three episodes all together in a passel, as we say in Indiana. Randy Zonker is sitting in with us here at John Schaub's place. John is
eating lunch.
Yes, he's eating lunch and he's waving the flag for our home theater, Elkhart Civic Theater, down at ICTL. So it's festival time, and I think I've mentioned that on one of the news podcasts, actually. So things are getting ready to happen here. There's several of the state festivals that are coming up around the country, including Indiana's in March. There's a big one in Texas in March, and a couple of others happening in addition to the big conference in July. But the theater festival season is starting, so that's why John's gone, and he's getting us all
just,
set up.
Can I just say, I think you don't have to be a member of a community theater to go to the excerpts when they're presented, like they do usually all day Saturday.
They start
Saturday evening, and maybe they start Friday evening.
They start
depending how many there are.
They start on Friday evening usually.
But you can pay and just go in and see them. You don't have to be. I don't believe you have to be a community theater
member. No, I don't think so.
They are open to the public. Let me tell you, that is the easiest way to compare productions. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's doing the same thing, but you can tell which group really puts effort into their productions and which group is just kind of, well, they're new and they're struggling, or which ones... Oh, I won't say.
You talk about the ones that are new and struggling.
Yeah.
It's good for them to be there too, because they get to see themselves up against maybe groups that are better and are maybe doing things a little bit differently. And it's all good ultimately.
Yeah.
It's all good. You may not really care much for maybe a particular excerpt, and it may not be that it's done badly. It may just not be your cup of tea.
It's the interpretation.
It may be the interpretation.
Exactly.
But it's a great way to expose yourself to all kinds of theater.
So it's being done. The Indiana Community Theater Festival is March.
It's 23rd through 25th.
Okay.
So 23rd is the Friday.
And it's at...
I think they're doing it at IUPUI. There's an auditorium there. I don't have all the facts on that.
But I'm sure you'll put them on our
website. I will try to. The unfortunate fact of the matter is that ICTL does not have a website and hasn't had
it's
for a
tacky.
While. And it's kind of hard to figure out what they're doing. And I hate to be critical, but they should have had a website like 3 years ago. And
they used to have one, but it had last year's news on it.
I know.
So it was more than frustrating.
But you can, I will try to find out what I can find out and have it up with this particular episode, because
when John
it's kind
comes
of important.
Back, he will bring us the
yeah,
news.
Yeah, actually, yes, that's true. This episode will go up about a week ahead of the festival, so you'll know
if
about
you're
it
near
then.
In Indianapolis, it would be a really nice day trip.
That's
I
true.
Think.
Yeah, I mean, and Indy is a great town a lot of stuff going on down there. So anyway, we spent a few minutes talking about something other than the topic we were going to talk
so
about.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's too bad. We wanted to talk today about something that I ran across when I was doing the news episode from a couple of episodes ago, and it's an article that I ran across in The Guardian, which is the UK newspaper, and the headline of this is, "Should Theater Leave More to the Imagination?" And what it's talking about is that there are more and more special effects, and in particular, things like rear screen projections and the show that you had mentioned where you're really in a surround video kind of tent, and that there's video setting being placed all the way around you, and there was a Peter Pan production in England that used this. And the author of this article says maybe it's all too much. Is it all too much?
I guess it depends on how it's used.
Mm-hmm.
If it's used to the exclusion of having a regular set and something, you know, then I would say, yeah, it is too much. I'd rather forego the flying things in the air kind of thing in order to have it right there in front of me.
Right, right. Now community theaters, now we use some.
We do.
We do. Projection. Some.
Yes,
and,
we do.
Wizard of Oz was a good one.
Uh-huh.
We projected Aunt Em and the Wicked Witch on the crystal ball.
Uh-huh.
Played extremely well.
Right.
And we've used it in other shows, but
yeah,
not to the extent that I think part of what they're talking about of replacing sets with the projection.
Yeah. The first time I ever heard about that, and I'm sure it was on long before, was several years ago. There was a production of Sunday in the Park with George,
uh-huh,
that came, I think, came from London. It did not originate in New York, but it came to New York. And the set was like a three-sided box.
Uh-huh.
And when George Seurat was painting this Sunday in the park,
mm-hmm,
it appeared as it was being painted until it was all the way around the stage.
Right.
And I think that would have been absolutely amazing to see.
But that's sort of that was using the content of the play and using that as a symbol for part of the content of the play.
So what I'm saying is, I think for something like that, it's a big asset.
Yeah.
But just to stick in videos or rear screen projections or whatever, just for the sake of using them, I think it takes a lot away from the artistry of what is part of theater, which is the set design and the painting, and you know,
right. And I mean, it becomes a substitute for the heart of the play,
right? Exactly.
Maybe that's sort of
exactly.
That sounds real esoteric, but that's really it.
Be esoteric, David.
Well, I remember seeing that didn't they use rear screen projection in Evita when it first came mm-hmm. out a lot, and they also had a rather fantastic scale. Yes,
like,
they did. That's right. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And they had a rather fantastic kind of set scaffold thing that moved back and forth,
yes,
and shone lights down. And to some extent, the technical end of that show was like another character in the play. It was a big aspect of it. But I don't know that it took it over.
I don't think it did. I don't know. It's a revival is now approaching Broadway.
Oh, really?
Yes, with Ricky Martin as Che Guevara.
Oh, God.
I remember him from General Hospital, and I can't quite picture him in khakis. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't know. I assume they will probably do the same thing, because once Evita got to be the queen of Argentina, really, they tracked all her travels and with
newsreels. Yeah,
right.
The show where she had been, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. When we've used theater rear screen projection, what are some of the pitfalls of that?
The bulb burns out,
number one,
I would say.
What's that?
Yeah, the bulb burns out. That's,
yeah, oh, there's that, a bulb burns out. There you go.
That did come real close to happening.
Really?
Yeah, we scrambled to find a bulb.
Which show
was that? It's electronic.
Will Rogers?
It may have been Will Rogers.
Yeah.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Now, does Will Rogers call for all the rear screen, or did that not? Did we do that on our own?
Oh.
No. I think a part of it is in there,
mm-hmm,
that you can. Mac and Mabel's another one.
Right, because of the silent film aspect of it.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's when you use, like, strobe light to get the Keystone Cops. And that's... To me, that's part of it. You have to do that.
Well, I think one of the keys is that sometimes, you know, you would like to use effects and special effects, and if you don't do them well, you're almost better off
not doing them.
Doing something else and letting the audience imagine what it should be, because the audience will have a better imagination than your effect in that case.
Well, it's really funny, because we were talking with Julie at our last episode about the ACT Festival in New York City, and one of the plays that is available to the participants to see is a War Horse,
mm-hmm,
which is, and I mean, obviously Spielberg just made a great movie out of it,
right,
with real horses. But okay, from the time this little colt comes on the stage till he and the other stallion have this big fight. And then the stallion, I mean, these are puppets, giant puppets that are run. Each puppet has three handlers, one's for the head and one for each of the leg, the front legs and the back legs. And okay, the minute they walk out, you go, oh Lord, there's people there with long sticks and they're moving the head and doing all this. In 3 minutes, tops, you don't even see them. They are horses. And you connect with them.
And they are live on stage.
And they are live on stage.
Well, that's
really
true.
It's just amazing.
And you've got master puppeteers running
course,
it, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
But, and that show also uses not rear screen projections, but it uses a lot of smoke and a lot of cannon fire. And the cannons are puppets, too. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, to me, that's what made the live stage more affecting to me than the movie.
Right. Now, when you can you get to a point with rear screen projection where you might as well just be showing the audience a movie?
Well, I'm sure you can. That would be true. But, I haven't encountered
I haven't seen it too much. But it's easy to step over. It may be easy to step over that line. We've used like, I guess they're PowerPoint presentations or PowerPoint slides.
Use PowerPoint
as part of.
I love you. You're perfect now. Change.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And those weren't really part of the storyline, but they were used almost like the old cards that they used to set on an easel,
right, exactly.
to tell you what's the next act coming up.
Exactly. They were.
And so those worked pretty well. And, of course, they're colorful and brighter than,
right.
You know, so they have their own light source.
Yeah, I think it also depends. I mean, if you are in Randy can probably speak to this. If you're in a brand new multi-jillion-dollar theater that has all this equipment at your fingertips and you can, I would imagine that the urge to use it would
very
be
strong.
Very difficult
yeah.
to, you know, to not do it.
Use it because
rather
you can.
Rather than in this old opera house where, you know, we're going, the lights go on. What the heck?
Yeah. Now we brought Julie to life. Julie is one of our actresses to life in the mirror. Remember in the Sherlock Holmes. And that was, but that was like a one-time effect.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is I think sometimes you might see effects used, whether they're projection or anything else like that, but if they're used too much through the play, they lose their impact. That sometimes once find the place where it's really going to work the best and have the most impact, and that's where you do it.
Yeah,
it separates the reality from it.
Yeah.
Because when you are into the play, that is actually the reality, the technical portion of it. Lends or tends to take you away from that.
Right, right.
It seems the sad thing is it seems to me like in New York now, a show like Spider-Man was almost just destroyed by trying to put in too much technical stuff and people were getting injured nightly pretty much.
Right, yeah.
And so when they revamped it, they cut back on a lot of that. The flying and
a lot of flying
projections
effects.
And and it's going well, and I haven't seen it, but I would imagine there's a musical based on the movie Ghost that's opening, and I would imagine that is out the wazoo with special effects,
right?
You know, people going through walls and all this stuff.
Is it expected that because we do seem to see a lot of shows coming out of movies and out of to some degree out of comic strips,
that
the expectation is that it better be a special effects extravaganza or else it's not really going to be a good show.
Or else it's not going to be worth the $130 that you're going to have to pay for the ticket. That's
because
a lot of
special
it.
Effects.
I've seen plays recently in New York where that was the price and there were no special effects.
Right,
But that ticket prices are, and especially with musicals, something better fly or flip or do something, or people kind of feel like they're cheated.
Yeah.
Like they don't have their money's worth.
It's the Cirque du Soleil syndrome.
Well, that's very possible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll, in the hinterlands, really, we're going to ever have to worry too much. But I do think when somebody like Randy is working on a show and he can inject – some really good special effects. I think that's great.
But do you ever come up to somebody and say, you know, we could do that, but let's just not, because I think it kind of it gets in the way.
No, I think we try to look at it, unless we decide not to do it. But
yeah,
we take ideas and create, and that's a part, you know, the hand created.
Well, that's true.
Not the technical ones.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go right back to Wizard of Oz. We started that show in black and white, the very same as the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that all came from a waiter at a Hacienda restaurant.
Really?
That said, the first time we did it, he said, why don't you guys try to do that? Nobody else has. And we did it. And when Dorothy appeared in Oz, it was all color, but everything was gray, black, white, and brown. And
that's hard to do on stage, actually.
Very hard to do.
Yeah, because I mean,
that is a special effect. You're right.
That is sort of a special effect without being technically expensive.
Yeah.
You know, special effects are actually, they're fun to do. The picture scrims, you've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where Dracula appears
through
the picture and eyeballs that light up. It's...
Eyeballs that light up. Whose eyeballs lit up?
Oh, now you're going to make them try and think of that. In Ruthless?
The picture.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, we've done a number of scrim things
over
the years, trying to with people appearing in paintings and not appearing. I mean, stuff like that. Disappearing.
And they work. Now, it could be done with a projection.
Yeah.
And perhaps some people would, but... it's much better to do the real thing.
That's right.
I don't think we'll ever have to face the problem.
We won't have to face that problem.
Where there's video,
right.
360 degree of video.
But I think ultimately you do have to look at, okay, does the show require it? Does it need it? Is it going to add to it or not before you actually, you know, you go ahead with something just because you can?
Well, no, but I really think for what it must have cost them to do that mm-hmm. they really felt it was going to add a lot to the production, you know, and so that's one of the reasons they did it.
Right, right. Now, in professional theaters, of course, you know, they could, if they can go all the way with that, do they run the risk of, it turning into a Disney ride?
I don't know. Well, all things turn into Disney rides, don't you know that? Everything from Broadway is a Disney ride. But sometimes I remember going backstage. We had a very dear friend who was the stage manager for Titanic mm-hmm. in New York. And we went backstage, and it's like it was the smallest stage I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the first act, when the guy yells, oh, iceberg ahead, and you see the ship going sailing across, their wing space was so shallow that the ship went, and then the first half got yanked off so the second half could get out into the wings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it might be better to use a projector.
Yeah. Although sometimes, you know, the challenge, especially in our theater, of course, I'm sure in a lot of community theaters, is how can you make this look pretty good? How can we figure it out? We can't do the special effect like they do on Broadway, but we can do something. And working out those kinds of things and actually making it work at a lower tech level is kind of part of the fun.
Yeah, and I don't think our audiences expect big pyrotechnics and special effects.
No,
in community
not
theater.
Not usually. No, but you did Drowsy Chaperone. Now I don't know if this just you could have if you'd been on a stage with fly space, you could have dropped that airplane out of the ceiling or something like that. But instead, you had people come out and literally assemble it in front of the audience,
that's cool.
And that was that's not a special effect, and technically it solved the problem. But it was kind of cool to watch people come out and take pieces and put an airplane
and
together.
There was a biplane, right?
Yeah, there was a biplane all of a
loaded
sudden.
Loaded with singing actors.
There
I
you
love
go.
It.
Yeah, and so you know, sometimes the special effect is up here.
Yes,
in your mind too,
and should be.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, I think we can wrap up this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember that you can visit our website at theatergeeks.com if you'd like to go to the Theater Geeks store. You can go to theatergeeks.com, click on Geek Swag, and that'll take you you to the store where you can see t-shirts, hats, mugs, what else, Randy?
Underwear.
And other things like that that have the Theater Geeks logo on them. Teddy bears for the little ones as well. So stop by there. We are also available on the Stitcher app if you are interested in, if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can get us on the Stitcher app. We are also on iTunes and at the Blueberry Network. So thanks again to Randy Zonker for sitting in for John Shalp. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm Randy Zonker.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.